God's grace. Only by God's grace. Grace. What is grace? God giving us what we don't deserve. What is His mercy? Not giving us what we deserve. Father, we come this morning. Father, I don't even feel I need to preach this morning. For Father God, you ministered through the music this morning. But Father, I just come and I submit, surrender myself unto you. I'm nothing but a mere vessel, Lord God. I'm just a glove that you put on, Father God. And when you put on the glove, that glove comes to life. Father, have your way this morning. Have your way, Father, that your will be done. Father, I pray over the saints of God, that you would feed everyone, that not one person will leave today and not have eaten of your food, Father. For you said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes, proceeds from you, Father. And so, Father, I submit, may I not say anything that you have not ordained or called me to say, Father. Have your way continuously throughout this service, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
By God's grace. I will tell you, last night I'm tired, but it's all good. I tussled. I don't know if you ever wrestled with the Lord. And I just tussled as to what. God is an awesome God. Oh. But nothing happens by chance. That's what we have to understand as children of God. Nothing happens by chance. I shot my brother a text this past week on his sermon. And for some of us, it was a refresher course. But for others, it was a revelation. Because it's true. When things happen, we're so quick to give the devil credit. Rebuking and all kinds of stuff. As he says, sometimes it might be you. Or it could be the hand of God. Okay. I have a little joke for you. Now, I've been tussling with this one, but I'm going to tell this one. I think my brother may have heard it before, Pastor Tony. The ugly baby. Yeah, I know, yeah. The ugly baby. A woman got on the bus holding her baby. The bus driver said, "That is the ugliest baby I have ever seen in my entire life." In a huff, the woman slammed her fare into the fare box and took an aisle seat at the rear of the bus. The man seated next to her sensed that she was agitated and asked her, "Ma'am, what in the world is wrong?" "The bus driver insulted me," she said. That man sympathized and said, "Why, he's a public servant and shouldn't say things that insult passengers." You're right, she said. I think I'll go up there and give him a piece of mine. That's a good idea, the man said. Let me hold your monkey. Cut it. No. Bad. Laughter's good. Forgive me, Lord. But how many of you have been talking to people and they ranting and raving about them kids and they open up a picture and you say, oh my Lord. Hallelujah. All right. I had to make you laugh because I'm going to hit you hard today. It's good. Somebody's still back there. Oh, she can't even, her stomach hurting. Hallelujah. You don't know I'm a comedian. Not really. My wife don't think I'm too funny. But anyhow, today's title is Revive Me Once Again. Subtitle, If My People Will Humble Themselves. Back on March 11th, I ministered on Revive Me Once Again, Ignite My Fire. Revival does not come by design. That's why in a moment we will look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. But I want to give you a recap of the message that I gave on March the 10th. God cannot be manipulated to send revival. It cannot be orchestrated nor produced by the flesh. Revival is not the church deciding to do something. It is God deciding to do something for His church. When I say church, I'm not talking about this building. It's you and I. As I move forth in this sermon, this applies to me probably more. Revival comes at the sovereign, gracious decision of God to send a fresh movement of His Spirit amongst His people. Revival is God moving. And I will tell you, that's hard to explain. Because we strive to know God, but no man knows God. He says we only know in part, and we only prophesy in part. Okay, I want to give this to you. In 1803, a strange event took place in the hills of Kentucky. 25,000 people went to hear preaching at a place called Cane Ridge, where preachers stood on stumps and proclaimed the righteousness of God. People became so overwhelmed that their conviction of sin that they fell to the ground and thousands were brought to the Lord. I really wonder if Cane Ridge happened today, how many of us would go? How many of us would go? Revival is a gracious move of the Spirit of God that brings renewal to the church. Revival is not for the unsaved. It is for you and me. For you cannot revive anything that never had life. Revival cannot be bought. Instead, it must be sought. But it's on God's time. Also, revival will not come unless it is desired. Unless we desire the presence of God. I don't know how much of this I'll be able to get through, but revival is the desire of the presence of God. Understand when God truly comes on the scene, He comes on the scene as a consuming fire to burn up everything that is not of Him. In me. Do we really want that God? We say we do. Do you know we only get a small portion of God? The more time we spend with the Father, the more we will be like Him. And we take on His character, His nature, His attributes, His qualities. See, understand that when we cry out for God, we're crying out for righteousness and holiness. When we're crying out for God, I'm saying, God, reveal to me that which is in me that is not of you. Now, He may jack you up, tell you, you can't watch this TV show. See, I'm stepping on some toes because we all look at TV. But really, when we really seek the presence of God and we desire to begin to pray for revival, God will shut some things down because He can't move in the midst of it. Truly, He cannot move in how He wants to move. See, we want Him to move, but we still want to do it our way. Mm-hmm. And we still want to do what we want to do and how we want to do it. Humility. Revival will not come unless it is desired. It is an invasion of heaven at the request of the saints on earth. I always say that when we pray, that is the fiber optic line. 911 to the Father. We need you, God. It's an emergency. Now, we cannot obligate God. But we must remember that God wants to revive His people more than we want revival. God longs to send revival to the church, to His people. He is waiting for His church to seek it, and He tells us how in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Believe it or not, that was a recap for my message on March. If my people, which are called by my name, God's name. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. God cannot move in the midst of pride. That stinking pride, stinking arrogance. How many of us Christians, we say we love God and we walk in pride. We have a judgmental spirit. We're critical and judgmental against our brothers and our sisters that walk and love God. God cannot move in the midst of that. Romans says, owe no man anything but to love them. Not to judge them. Let's not judge, because we have enough in the world with the devil and with the unsaved. Humility, there is something precious about humility and submission to God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, number one. This is a recipe for revival. Simple. Mm-hmm. But yet, it's not. Sounds simple. Humility is something that we decide, I don't want it anymore. I don't want that rebellion. I don't want that anymore. See, we can look righteous and holy. We can say the right thing. But we still may be walking in that stinking pride. I do it better. Well, I don't like the way he said it. Well, she ain't anointed. Well, the word of God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Amen. Many of us touch the anointed of God by that critical, judgmental spirit. Keep in mind, I'm speaking revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. You can pray. But did you know you can pray and still not be seeking God's face? That's what it says. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God calls us wicked. We always judge in the world. God looking at us. The word of God is not for the unsaved. It's for you and me to get us on track, get us on course. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Understand that this verse is so critical that it will take quite a few sermons to understand it. God says, if we humble ourselves, seek his face, then turn from our wicked ways, he will hear, he will forgive, and he will heal. So today I want to touch on three things that I have learned about humility. Okay? Number one, humility is an intentional undertaking. It is something that we physically be cognizant about. You know when you're rebellious. You may not want to say it, but you know when you're rebellious. Number two, humility is the willingness to stress the discipline of prayer and fasting. Number three, the same God that revives the humble in spirit is the same God that removes the proud in heart. All great revivals that have ever taken place have always begun with just a handful of people seeking God, praying, and fasting. I'm going to touch on something very briefly. You cannot get away from fasting. Now, understand this. There are various types of fasting. Not everyone can fast from food. Some of us are diabetics, low blood sugar, there are a whole host of things. Did you know there are other ways you can fast? Amen. You want to really get close to God? Cut that boob tube off. Fat. You think it's easy? Fast from the TV for a week, for 7 days. You see how many will begin to have withdrawal symptoms. Arguments coming in the house. Don't know what to do. Yeah, that's something to do. Fast from the TV for a week. While you're doing that, read the word. Eat on the word. Pray. Don't pray for yourself. Begin to pray for others. Now, what I mean, don't pray for yourself. Stop praying for stuff. We pray for stuff all the time. That's all we do. Stuff. We're a very materialistic society. Let me tell you, my worst day with God is better than my best day without Him. And some of you are going to have to chew on that one, but it's okay. Because God is everything. He is everything. He is El Shaddai. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is our provider. He is our maker. He is our sustainer. That wherever we go as a child of God, as He did with Israel, wherever we go, He's behind us. He's ahead of us, but He's also with us. For He says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Okay. Humility is an intentional undertaking. God chooses to fill empty vessels. You remember I gave a teaching on the alabaster container. And many times to be filled with that of God, we must be broken so that that which is in us can ooze out. God will piece us back together and begin to refill us with His presence, with His essence, with His fragrance. What we're going to see over and over as I go through this is that God will not send revival until His people humble themselves. God cannot fill people with the Spirit if we are already filled of ourselves. And there is a real danger in the church having that sufficient spirit. That is why we don't see many revivals. A sufficient and satisfied spirit. I don't have enough of God. I want more. I want more of His presence. I want more of His glory each and every day. I'm not satisfied. It's all right to be greedy for God. He says that we are to, in the Beatitudes, we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. There were a few kings more evil than Manasseh. And God brought judgment upon him just as He promised. The Babylonians came and literally put a hook in this man's nose and drug him to Babylon. Now, that's amazing. So let's look at 2 Chronicles 33, 12 through 13. As Manasseh suffered when he was in distress, he begged, he entreated and sought the Lord, his God, for help and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors, his fathers. Verse 13, when Manasseh prayed, the Lord heard him. God heard his plea and had pity. God was moved with compassion. So the Lord let him return to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord God, he is a true God. You will find this over and over in the Old Testament of God moving. Many revivals. When we humble ourselves, God promises to hear and to respond. And he never breaks a promise. We will never find a time in the Bible when men humbled themselves before God that he did not hear nor respond. And we need to realize that God puts the responsibility on you and I. Let's look at Zephaniah 2:3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. God's a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a kind God. But he is also a God of judgment. He is a God of judgment. God says, don't fear the one that can destroy your body. Fear the one that can destroy the body and cast our soul into hell. Many of us have lost our fear of God. And many of us have forgotten what God has said in his word. Because we've been saved for a minute or two. Let me tell you something. It can be dangerous. Sometimes some of the most dangerous Christians can be those that have been in the word for years and years. Because they may know, they may can quote, but they have forgotten the fear of the Lord. When I judge my sister or my brother, when I see an inconsistency, I call it spiritually crazy. Spiritually insane. Because did you know if the Spirit of God is in that man or woman, you're also judging the Spirit of God. First off, because ain't none of us perfect. We all have flaws. We all have weaknesses and shortcomings. Yeah, we sure do. And I get sick of them. Repeating almost every day. Well, every day. Something you done done. But thank God we have a God that is that merciful. Hallelujah. I have some questions for each of us to ponder. Do we really want to miss the judgment of the Lord? Do we want revival to really come? Because it's going to cost us something. God says, count the cost. See, we cry out for God. But do we really want him? Do we want revival to come? God says, seek humility. But what does it mean to seek humility? It's more than what we do. Now, if somebody comes up to me and gives me a compliment, I will try to act humble. You know how we do. Put on that little cute little face and, oh, thank you. Whatever we do. We'll try to act humble, but that's not what God is talking about. It's about the heart. It's one thing to act humble, but do we seek humility or seek a desire to be humble? Do we intentionally seek ways to humble ourselves? Yet that is what God is looking for. Because, see, when God really, really comes on the scene, he doesn't need us to do a thing. Because he's in the house, and he's in his house, and he can choose to use whatever vessel in his house, plate, saucer, cup, fork, knife, spoon. The spoon does not tell me, no, use me, at least not in my house. I pick up whatever plate. The plate that's underneath that plate doesn't say, no. Use me, eat off me. Now, if your plates and knives and forks and spoons and sauces and glasses does that, call me so I can come and be a witness to that. But yet, isn't that what we do? In God's house? Seeking humility means we confess our burdens for the way things are. Every revival in the Bible is preceded by people having a great burden that things have become so bad and people are living so far from God. I want to tell you this, and that is America needs revival to restrain the anger of God. To restrain the anger of God. But understand, it's because of the praying saints that are truly interceding for our land. It's not many. It's what I call a remnant. It's what I call a remnant. There are very few remnants. There are lots of Christians, so they say. But there are very few remnants that are willing to get upon their knees and cry out for the Father, and cry out to the Father, Abba Father. In your private time, in your closet, with other intercessors. God needs intercessors, interceding. Some of you don't even realize that there are men that are intercessors. Many of you, because of where you've been, what you've experienced, you assume that all intercessors are women. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. I'm not going to be able to get through this. Whatever. I will tell you, I'm an intercessor. Look here. I'm on page 4. I got 13 pages. Okay. Oh, he said I'm okay. No. All right. I'm gonna tell you a testimony. We have to have each other back. God, I feel it. I see it. I can't say why. God wants to use this church in a supernatural way. You want to know why? Because when it happens, people have no choice to realize it's Him. Why do you think there has been so many attacks on us? Let me tell you something. Understand, Satan has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. Now, if he cannot get you physically with something in your body, if you are married, he will try to come into the relationship. Yeah. The word says a house divided. Let me tell you something. He knows the word better than we do. We better get into the word and pray and intercede. I'm talking revival. Okay. I had a dream. And I didn't share it because I wanted to share it now. I had a dream, two dreams this week. Dreams represent something. Just like names. I had a dream this week. And I was walking in the inner city. And I don't know what city. I just remember being in the inner city, and as I was walking, I was by myself, and as I'm walking, I go around this corner, and there's this bum, hair all over his head, and there were two pit bulls with him. Where I turned to go the opposite way, and as I'm moving, I see the pit bulls begin to come after me. And I'm running. And as I'm running, I see them gaining on me. And I remember that there was this humongous fence. And I jumped on the fence and began to go up the fence. And I looked down. There was the pit bull still coming. Then I woke up. It was another dream as I was sleeping the next night. And it was as though I was coming into my house. And there were two jackals or a coyote or wolves. And as I'm walking, I look back. And they're coming, snarling, showing me their teeth. And I remember kicking. Nothing happened. And I grabbed this stone. I think it was a stone. It was something large. And I dropped it on one. The devil is hot on our heels. With my brother, it's not by half a chance. Many of us have endured hardship and still are. It's my sister. We must keep each other's back. We mustn't be backstabbers, but we must have each other's back and pray one for another. Sister and brother, I'm not talking about in the church. I'm talking during the weekday. During the weekday. This is the easy part. during the weekday. Let me get back to intercession. A good friend of mine, I shared with Pastor Ann, just passed away, Frederick Agambe. He was a phenomenal musician. He was an engineer. He was many things, but he loved the Lord, and he was a phenomenal keyboard player. Well, he had triple bypass. Thought he was doing better, but 2 days later, he passed away. So I remember Friday. Terry Stevens, some of us know Terry Stevens. Terrence is a saxophone player, okay? And I'm gonna take you on the road, a journey to show you something. And all three of us were very close. And we had produced a couple of CDs. And we were getting ready to do something again. But I remember the first time I met Terry, it was at the church. It was on Hall Street. This was years ago. And he had come to minister in the saxophone, in ministering music on the sax. Well, he's a preacher. This guy, about that big. You think Sheila and I, that thing, about that big? That thing is a firecracker. No, he's a stick of dynamite. But anyhow, I remember that was years ago. That was beside Eon, Pastor Jones Church, Message of the Cross. Well, I remember we met, exchanged cards, and at this time, he was going through some troubling, he wouldn't mind me telling because he's remarried, he was going through some difficult times, as you well know, Pastor Ann, during that time in his marriage. And I never forget, it was one particular Monday. I had been praying. And I kept his card. This was probably 6 months to a year went by. This particular day, I called him on a Monday. At this time, I'm running my own business. And I called Brother Stevens. And I said, Brother, I said, the Lord just put you on my heart. And he said, yeah, he did, Brother Munford. He's from Guyana. So he has this accent. Sometimes I can't understand him. So I said, Brother, what are you doing? I said, I know it was probably at this point about 7 o'clock in the morning. I said, what are you doing? I said, Brother, why don't you come by for prayer? It was like I could barely hang the phone up before my brother began to come by. He came by. We got together. My wife was going to work. By this time, it's probably 8:30. At this time, we're living in the four-room house. You remember that four-room house on Broad Street? We began to pray. My wife goes to work. She works all day. She comes home, we're still praying. God is my witness. She comes home, she cooks dinner, calls us, we don't even eat. We probably prayed from about 8:30 until probably about 10 o'clock. Just praying, interceding, having God speak. And at this time, Terry did not know anything about me other that I was a minister. He knew nothing else. I knew who he was. I wanted our relationship to be based on God. Nothing else. Because I knew he was a man of God from what I saw and heard. I heard his heart. Probably 6 months to a year went by. We were talking. Never forget this. And he began to share some things with me about him wanting to produce an album and different things. You have to hear what God does. God heard Terry Stevens. Maybe 6 months into us coming together, we began to come together every Monday and we would pray and intercede. And I remember, I guess it was probably about 6 months into it, and he began to talk about music. And he said that he was looking to produce an album or two, but that he only wanted to get together with musicians who love God more than music. I'll never forget that. I never shared with him anything about me. Probably another 5 or 6 months went by. And we were talking one day, and he was frustrated. And we were praying, and he said, I just feel that God wants me to do this thing. But he said, I done been in music. And some of us don't understand that many times what we call Christian music, or contemporary Christian music, you have no idea what goes on behind the scene. And the brother said, I can't do it like that. He said, I want to be with musicians. He said, I'd rather play with an anointed musician who is good than to play with an awesome musician who is not anointed. Understand, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. I never forget that. I felt my brother's heart that day. I never forget. I felt his heart. Keep in mind, this is about a year. I said, Terry, I want to show you something. At this point, I'm really heavily in music. I said, I want to show you something. I took him upstairs, and I pulled the ladder down. And as we walked upstairs, he stood there and looked around. And he looked around. Because I had a studio at this time. And he looked. He said, what is this, Brother Munford? Never forget, he looked around. He said, well, whose stuff is this? I said, well, Brother Terry, for the last year, I wanted to get to know you for you. Not for music. And he stood there and looked at me. And he said, you play the drums? I said, yes, Terry. And God orchestrated it from that. What am I saying? Is that many times we may not know what God is doing. It wasn't for me. It was for Terry. See, it's always got to be about us. It's always got to be about me. But the majority of the time, God wants to use you to be a blessing to someone else. Needless to say, Terry is an intercessor. And we grieve this past Friday as our good friend, Frederick Agambe, passed away. But we know that he's with the Father to be absent from the body. We're present with the Lord. So I know that I wasn't able to get through any of this, but it's all good because God's in control. I gave that testimony, not sure why. But God wants us to pray, to intercede. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble. That's the reason why God put humility first. It's not about what we know. It's not about our degrees, about our education. It's not about our accolades. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just want to thank you for